This is it. This is the goal. We got Swamiji a temple. We got him a storefront. This is it. And then Prabhupada made the charter for
the corporation.
Corporation, yes, he incorporated. And everybody was shocked when Prabhupada named it the International. He was struggling. The well-wishers, they scrapped together the first month's rent and told Swamiji that we won't be able to pay next month's rent. They didn't even have confidence he'd be there the next month. And Prabhupada had that vision. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This is international. And then he wrote seven purposes. He wanted publications of books by the millions to be printed and distributed all over the world. That was quite amazing. He just had a few very simple books with brown covers printed in India, Srimad Bhagavatam. That took him years and years and years to translate, to raise the money to print that. And he had nobody, there was not a single book distributor in the entire creation except Srila Prabhupada himself at that time. It was pretty bold. And he wanted schools, and he wanted farm community, and he even wanted to establish a place of pilgrimage to reveal Krishna's pastimes in the Western world. But he wrote. So Krishna works in wonderful ways. Actually, two of Prabhupada's very, very earliest followers, Kirtanananda Swami and Hayagriva Prabhu, they took initiation in 1966 on 22nd Avenue. And somehow or other, they actually went astray for a short time. And they somehow or other got this land because it was so cheap. $99 for a 99-year lease. You can't get that in Manhattan.
In 99 seconds.
Purusha Prabhu said in Manhattan, it's $99 for 99 seconds. There you are. So they went to Prabhupada in Montreal and they said, Prabhupada, we want to surrender our lives and we want to surrender this property to you also. And Prabhupada said, oh, very good. We will call it New Vrindavan.
Ah.
And then they invited him to come, and he agreed. Where we are sitting was New Vrindavan. The road that we came is a new road that His Holiness Barsana Maharaj literally just carved out of the mountains with his heavy equipment, seva. But previously, last year we walked up the original road, to some extent. It was just a road that went up and down hills to just where that schoolhouse is near Bhulavans, where it began. That road was so notorious for mud in the summer and ice in the winter that the devotees named it Agasura. Because it would just devour anything that came into it. And it's about 3 miles you have to walk to get here. There's no other way. Prabhupada agreed to come. He wanted to come. He was eager to come. And that was in the month of May of 1969. This time of the year. he came to New Vrindavan. At that time, this house was very, very dilapidated. It has been just in the late 1980s, it was very much renovated. This is like a 5-star palace compared to the way it used to be in the 70s or the 60s. Yes, Nityajita Prabhu? You give it 5 stars? When Prabhupada came, the house ended where that girl is. This was an addition. And there was a little altar on that, in that wall here with the pillars. And Prabhupada stayed here for 1 month in this house. He was so happy. Because he wanted to instill within the devotees' hearts the love for a life of simple living and high thinking. Because that is the life of Vrindavan. Simply by caring properly for the cows and learning how to properly respect Mother Earth, all of our necessities are provided. And then we use our time and our energy to remember Krishna, to serve Krishna. There was a persimmon tree. Actually, that tree's son or daughter, I can't tell, but that tree's sibling looks exactly the same shape as the original tree. The original tree just fell down a few years ago. But the child of the tree is exactly the same shape in the same place. Prabhupada used to sit under that tree and look over the mountains and give his plan, his vision for New Vrindavan. Devotees would sit around him and he would give his ideas. He wanted New Vrindavan to be just like Vrindavan. In fact, Prabhupada even wrote that New Vrindavan should be better than Vrindavan. Now, how is that possible? Because in Vrindavan, you know, there is a lot of commercialism, at least in the external, superficial surface of Vrindavan. And there's also Mayavad and all kinds of different things like that. But he said, in New Vrindavan, we should have a community simply of those who are aspiring for pure devotional service. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada says that we have established a New Vrindavan in West Virginia. New Vrindavan is non-different than Goloka Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. Because the community is centered around service to Krishna, loving Krishna. So that was all established here as Prabhupada was living. He lived upstairs. You should all go there. It was where he would translate his books. In the front half and in the back half was where he slept. He would come down here and give Bhagavatam class, lead kirtans in this room that we are sitting now. And he would sit outside and speak to the devotees, meditate and contemplate on the future of New Vrindavan. So this is a very, very holy and historical place for all of us here. Prabhupada performed this very exceptional lila for about 1 month living here. There was one cow named Kalia. The devotees, they had very little money. So what with very little money, you can't buy a very highly pedigree respectable cow. So they got a little black cow with one eye. And she was such a nice cow. She was the original cow of the Hare Krishna movement. She's historical. And she was such a gracious, elegant personality. She was always peaceful, always calm, always compassionate. Every year she gave a calf. Every year she gave such wonderful milk for Krishna. She met all other cows would fight. She would never fight. She even walked kind of like Prabhupada with her head up. She was always humble, very humble cow. Very cooperative. She was really like a queen in her disposition. And when Prabhupada drank her milk, he said it was the best milk he drank in 40 years. He liked very much. So he was so happy. Take care of cows. Till the fields. Have nice kirtans. Do your japa nicely. Read Srimad Bhagavatam. And begin to actually excavate the holy places of Krishna's pastimes here. Because not so many people in America can go all the way to India to Vrindavan or Mayapur. So he wanted people to have that same experience here in America. In fact, I'm really thinking that we can start the project by building Madan Mohan Temple, exact replica of Vrindavan right here at New Vrindavan. We already have the stone carvers. They can get the exact same stone. They can carve it exactly to the detail, just like it, same size. Yes? That would be nice. Yeah. Yeah. Madan Mohan Temple is the symbol of Vrindavan. All we need is the blessings of Krishna and the Vaishnavas and some funds. But I don't think that's very difficult. If the community and the friends of the community really feel excited to be at New Vrindavan and to make New Vrindavan what Prabhupada wanted it to be, that will come very soon. Funds are not problems. The problem is our consciousness. Krishna can provide everything if we have the right consciousness. If he sees that devotees really are enthusiastic and inspired to come here to get Krishna consciousness, and devotees, some devotees at least, are inspired to stay here and happily serve and raise their families, then Madan Mohan Temple will be built. And then later, Govindaji Temple. Maybe not the same size, but but actually, we already have the stone carver. We already know where the stone is. And we already have the exact detailed plans of every inch of Madan Mohan Temple. All that's required is submitting it and saying, go ahead. But that will come when the community really is united and enthused in devotional service. Do you all give your blessings to this? Krishna's life in Vrindavan should be remembered here. That is the perfection of New Vrindavan. When people come, they remember Krishna. Krishna would rest at Nandagam. The friends of Krishna would come early morning to wake Krishna up. Tarani would be waiting outside as Yashoda Mai would wake Krishna up. And each friend was carrying a stick for herding cows, a buffalo horn. Each one had a flute. And their mothers would decorate them very nicely. And Gopal would be woken up. And his mother would dress him very, very beautifully after giving him a nice bath. And then he would come to meet his friends. The first thing he would do every morning with his friends was to go to the place the cows were being milked. Because the cows would not give any milk until they saw Krishna. He didn't milk them necessarily. He would go out and herd the calves, the cows at that time. He would herd cows. But the cows that were being milked, they would just wait for to see. They would be longing to see. When Krishna would come into the Goshala, the abode of the cows, which was actually very beautiful, because Nanda Maharaj had so much ghee and so much butter and so much milk products that anything he wanted he could trade for. So the Goshala was actually made of very, very, very beautiful stones, jewels, beautiful carved wood. Because they honored and loved their cows. So Krishna would come into that Goshala and there were thousands and thousands of cows there. And then when Krishna, they would all just be looking at the doorway, just waiting for Krishna. Their eyes were fixed on that doorway. When Krishna would come in, they would just start. They would have kirtan. They would have cow kirtan. To meet Krishna. All these thousands of cows would blissfully start making their song.
How was it?
Should we try to have a cow kirtan? Everyone together, meditating on Krishna. You like cow. One, two, three. Something like that. And they'd also be stamping their feet like cartels and Madonna's. Like this, everyone. Krishna would come in and he would be so happy he would smile. He would personally smile at each and every cow. And each and every cow, tears would be, tears of love, of motherly affection would just be flowing from each cow's eyes as they'd be looking at Krishna. And Krishna would smile at them. And that smile was the ultimate goal of their life, just to see that smile of Krishna. He was pleased with them. And Krishna would go to each and every cow and personally rub their necks and scratch them and make them feel so nice. What a wonderful life, being a cow being scratched by Krishna. And he would speak sweet words of love and affection for each cow. And the cow would reciprocate by mooing and weeping in ecstasy. And when it came the time for the milking, each cow was just meditating on offering their milk to Krishna. And Krishna would go out. He would say, he would tell the cows how much he will be in separation from them throughout the day. Those that were being milked. And he'd go out with his other herd of cows And the gopas and the gopis, the little gopas, they would come with Krishna. But the smaller gopas, who were too small to come with Krishna, they would just be in their mother's arms, the little babies, the tiny little infant babies. They would come out with their mothers to say goodbye to Krishna as he'd go to the pastures each morning. And they would just be crying, just crying and crying, praying for the day that they grow up so they can go out with Krishna to herd the cows. And then Krishna and gopas, they would play so many nice games. First they'd decorate themselves, because they weren't so much concerned with the decorations their parents gave them. They like the natural decorations. So they would get minerals from the earth and start taking it and smearing it on each other to make nice colors. And then they would get flowers and leaves and pick up the feathers of peacocks. And they would just decorate themselves with all these things. They would make garlands and they'd decorate each other's hair. All the gopas would decorate each other. For what purpose? Just so they would look nice for Krishna. That's all. They just wanted to be so pleasing to Krishna. Even if you go to some of the temples in India, you'll see that pujaris sometimes have nice earrings, and they put nice scents on their body, and they even dress elegantly. And the idea is that they're looking nice for the deity. There you go. That's their feeling. So the gopas, they would be decorated so nicely with flowers and leaves and different types of minerals, and especially peacock feathers and other feathers. And they would play with Krishna throughout the day. Krishna would play his flute, and all the cows and the gopas and the gopis of Nandagaon, they would simply be immersed in such separation during the time Krishna was gone. Their only solace was every now and then from a distance they would hear his flute. He would play it just for them, actually, just to pacify their hearts. So this is Vrindavan life. Very simple, very sweet. And as we remember Krishna in his simple life in Vrindavan, naturally we fall in love with Krishna. The reciprocations of pure devotion between the Lord and the gopas, the gopis, the cows, and all the creatures of all the personalities of Vrindavan is most wonderful. And the peacocks, they would come and especially perform dance for Krishna when he was with cowherds. So devotional. They would come before Krishna and begin to dance. And then Krishna, just to reciprocate with their love, he would dance with the peacocks. What an exalted position that is, to be a peacock. Dancing with Krishna. They would dance, and Krishna would dance, and the peacock would dance. It was such a dance. And all the gopas would be gathered around, clapping their hands and playing instruments, laughing, smiling, watching the beautiful dance of Krishna and the peacock. And all the other peacocks and peahens would be gathered around, watching this transcendental performance. And then even the peacock got tired. And Krishna just continued to dance and dance and dance. And the leader of all the peacocks was so pleased that Krishna has done this just for them. Just to show, just to give them pleasure, he has danced all day for them. And as a gift, peacock laid his best feather at Krishna's lotus feet. He said, on behalf of all the peacocks of Rajpumi, I bring this feather in reciprocation to your love. to further reciprocate with their love, Krishna took that feather and placed it on top of his head in his little crown. This is the sweet, simple love of Vrindavan. It was that that Prabhupada was meditating on and envisioning here in this farmhouse that we are living today. But I think all of you need to go back to Manhattan Island in New York City very soon.
At one point.
Please, when you return, know that wherever Radha Vrindavan Chandra, Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Govinda, wherever Sri Sri Radha Krishna being remembered, wherever the pastimes of the Lord are being discussed, wherever the names of the Lord are being chanted by sincere devotees, that place becomes transformed into Vrindavan. We were discussing recently how there's a very, very special purport of Srila Prabhupada, who's actually explaining Vrindavan consciousness beyond geographical dimensions. This is in regard to Lord Chaitanya going to Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya was so eager to go to Vrindavan. It was his life's aspiration. You know the story, after he took initiation from Ishwarapuri in Gaya, he was so much manifesting his ecstatic love. One night he just ran away, just all alone, went running to Vrindavan. And a celestial voice of the demigods actually spoke to him and said, "My lord, your mission is to establish the Harinam Sankirtan movement for the welfare of all the world. You should go back to Navadvipa and do that, and later on you can come to Vrindavan." So he actually went back to Navadvipa. Then he took sannyas from Kesha Bharati in Katwa. Right on the same day he took that initiation, he immediately started running to Vrindavan. Somehow or other, Nityananda Prabhu tricked him and gave him different directions. And he met his devotees in Shantipur. And then his mother begged, "Please do not go to Vrindavan, live in Puri." He did. After his South Indian tour, he told his devotees, "I want to go to Vrindavan." But his devotees were thinking, if he goes to Vrindavan, he may never return. Well, they couldn't say no to him, but at the same time, he would not leave without the blessings of the Vaishnavas. He wanted to teach the world, without the blessings of great souls, nothing we do can be auspicious in the eyes of Krishna. So he asked devotees, "Please give me your blessings to go to Vrindavan." So they were thinking, how to give him blessings and not let him go. So they were very intelligent. He said, "Yes, yes, my lord, if that is your wish, you must go, but you should wait until after the Ratha Yatra." So after Ratha Yatra, they said, "It's the rainy season, Charya. You take care of him." Sarvabhumavatacharya was actually trying to encourage Kadadharpa. He said, "The Lord loves you so much." He said, "He loves you so much, even though he wants your association so dearly, he's willing to give up your association. He's willing to suffer the pain of losing your company just to protect your vow." Just like Krishna was willing to break his own promise just to protect Vishnu's promise, similarly the Lord wants to protect your promise. Then they went back. And Lord Chaitanya, his tour was something magnificent when he got to Navadvipa. He went to Kuliagram. Millions and millions of people came to see him.
Wow.
Because when he was in Navadvipa, he was Nimai Pandit, and so many people loved him, but after he took sannyas, then even the people who didn't really understand comprehended that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the word came out that he was at the house of Vidya Vachaspati, it was unbelievable what happened. So many millions and millions of people were coming. They had to cross the Ganges to get there. People were so eager to, they were just getting banana trees and just floating on banana trees. There were like hundreds of persons on one banana tree. Just and then there was also boats, big boats, and thousands of people just rushed down to the boat, and the boatman was saying, it's and sometimes so many people were on the boat just literally, right in the water, just fell apart. just broke down and sunk. And some of the boats were in the middle of the stream and it sunk, and somehow or other, just as it was sinking, some land would appear under it so it didn't sink. People, millions of people who never knew how to swim, just started swimming. Some people would just get like pots, like clay pots, and just hold on to it. In this way, the Ganga was just like millions of heads of people just floating. And then they came running to the place Lord Chaitanya was staying. When they came to the place, he came. They were all just chanting. They wanted him to come, and then he came out of the house, and everyone wanted to see him so bad. There were so many millions of people around that house that there were little straw huts with thousands of people crammed on top of it just to see over the crowds. And the hut didn't break. There were hundreds and hundreds of people on any given tree. Even hanging on the twigs at the end of it. And nothing broke. They were all supported so that they could have the darshan of the Lord. And the Lord came out and saw them all and addressed them and induced them all to chant the holy names. And what a kirtan. There were thousands and thousands of different kirtan groups chanting, dancing. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing amongst all of them. Then from there he proceeded. And you know the story of Narasinghananda Brahmachari. He was just a simple brahmachari with no wealth at all. But he wanted to do some service to the Lord. He wanted to make the Lord's trip to Vrindavan very comfortable. So he sat in meditation and started decorating the roads. He made the roads very wide, and then he covered the roads with very, very soft, fragrant petals of flowers. There wasn't even a single stem. Just so that the Lord's feet would be very happy. And so that the Lord's would see a nice view on the sides of the roads. He was excavating lakes with swans and beautiful bakula trees and tamal trees and kudamba trees and banyan trees. It was all in his meditation. Because devotional service is actually a matter of what Krishna receives within your heart. When Lord Chaitanya was walking down the road, he actually saw whatever Narasinghananda Brahmachari was constructing in his meditation. The Lord was dancing upon the flower petals. Nobody else could see it. That was his reality. He was seeing the auspicious trees, the lakes, and the auspicious birds on all sides. Because there is a higher reality than the what we call the tangible world of the senses. There's the reality of consciousness, the reality of love. That is actual reality. So, through this story, we understand that there actually is no material limitation in devotional service. So I can see that Yajna Purusha now is meditating on a temple in Manhattan. He's constructing it. Then they came to Ramakeli and met Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. And on the advice of Sanatana and Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya turned back because they told him, you should not go with so many millions of people to Vrindavan. Just go either yourself or small group. So the Lord understood in Kanai Matashal, this is the right advice. So he went all the way back to Puri. And when he arrived in Puri, he told the devotees that Krishna would not allow me to go to Vrindavan because I hurt the heart of Gadadhar Pandit. Unless he gives me his blessings and permission, Krishna will not allow me to go. So this is the truth. But Lord Jesus Christ, in his Sermon of the Mount, I believe he said, if you're going to the altar to worship, to bring an offering to the Lord, but you have some problem with your brothers, go and resolve your problem with your brother, then come and give the offering to the Lord. Pokeweed chorus, pokeweed chutney, pokeweed sabji, and pokeweed salad. And the reason he liked it so much was because the principle that you live with what grows in the land. He really wanted to show the devotees how what a wonderful life that would be. Thank you very much.